At the end of the first day, Judge Miller was concerned about Ron's absence. At a bench conference, he expressed his worries to the lawyers. "I've done some reading about the absence of the defendant. I'm going to have Mr. Williamson brought back over about 9:15 and inquire one more time whether or not he still wishes not to be present. If he does, then he's going back again." To which Dr. Barney added helpfully, "Do you want me to load him down with about 100 milligrams of—" "I'm not telling you what to do," Judge Miller interrupted. At 8:45 the following morning, Ron was escorted into the courtroom. Judge Miller addressed him by saying, "Mr. Williamson, yesterday you had expressed your desire not to be present during the preliminary hearing." "I don't want to even be up here," Ron said. "I didn't have anything to do with this killing. I don't know who killed her. I don't know anything about it." "Okay. Your conduct and your disruptive behavior, you can reclaim your right to be present if you so desire. But you'll have to promise and be willing not to be disruptive and disorderly. And you'll have to do that in order to reclaim that right. Do you wish to be present?"
"No, I don't want to be here."
"And you understand that you have the right to be here and listen to all the witnesses' testimony?"
"I don't want to be here. Whatever you all do, I can't help it. I'm tired of being crazy about this. It suffered me so much, I just don't want to be here."
"Okay, and that's your decision. You do not wish to be present?"
"That's correct."
"And you're waiving your right to confront witnesses by doing that under the Constitution?"
"Yes, I am. You all can charge me on something I didn't do. You all can do anything you want to do."
Ron then looked at Gary Rogers and said, "You scare me, Gary. You can charge me after 4.5 years of harassing me, sir.
You all can go at it because you all is the ones in control, not me."
Ron was taken back to jail, and the hearing resumed with the testimony of Dennis Smith. Gary Rogers followed with a tedious narrative of the investigation. Then OSBI agents Melvin Hett and Mary Long testified about the forensics involved in the case, fingerprints, hair analysis, and the components in blood and saliva. After the state rested its case, Barney called 10 witnesses, all jailers or former trustees. Not a one recalled hearing anything vaguely similar to what Terry Holland claimed she heard. When the testimony was over, Barney and Greg Saunders asked the court to dismiss the rape charges because they had not been brought within 3 years of the crime, as required by Oklahoma law. Murder has no statute of limitations, but all other crimes do. Judge Miller said he would rule on the motion at a later date. Almost lost in the shuffle was Dennis Fritz. The focus of Peterson's prosecution was obviously Ron Williamson and his star witnesses, Gore, Terry Holland, Gary Rogers with the dream confession, all testified against Ron. The only proof that remotely tied Fritz to the murder was the hair analysis testimony of Melvin Hett. Greg Saunders argued long and hard that the state had not met its burden of proving probable cause that Dennis Fritz was connected to the killing. Judge Miller took the matter under advisement. Barney joined in the fray with a noisy motion to dismiss all charges because of such light evidence, and Greg followed suit. When Judge Miller didn't issue a ruling immediately, when it became apparent he was actually considering the merits of the defense motions, the police and prosecutors realized they needed more evidence. Scientific experts carry great weight with juries, especially in small towns, and when the experts are employees of the state and called by the prosecution to testify against criminal defendants, their opinions are deemed infallible. Barney and Greg Saunders knew the hair and fingerprint testimony from the OSBI crowd was suspect, but they needed some help to dispute it. They would be allowed to cross-examine the state's experts and attempt to discredit them, but they also knew that lawyers rarely win such arguments. Experts are hard to pin down, and jurors are quickly confused. What the defense needed was an expert or two at its table. They filed a motion requesting such assistance. Such motions were commonly made but rarely granted. Experts cost money, and many local officials, including judges, cringed at the idea of forcing the taxpayers to cover the bill for an indigent defense that ran too high. The motion was argued, Left unsaid was the fact that Barney was blind. If anyone needed help in analyzing hair fibers and fingerprints, it was Barney Ward.